Scripture reading this morning comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. That's Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And I am reading from the New American Standard Version. It reads, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds."
We're very appreciative for the invitation to come and to be with you here at the Malden Church of Christ, thanking the leadership here, Brother Joel, Brother Mormon, and others have allowed me to come and be with you time after time. Love the congregation here. Love coming to worship with you. And we just pray that everything that we do and say here this day will be very encouraging. Want to also extend our gratitude for allowing us to, back in May, to do a gospel meeting. We're still high on that. Very, very thankful for that blessed opportunity that we had back in May. But this morning, I want to say something that will encourage us, something that will give our tired feet some strength, something that will motivate us to realize and continue to trust the God of heaven that sits high and looks low. And as we all know, he rules in the affairs of men. I want to continue to pray for Brother Mormon, Sister Carol, and her condition, praying that she will have a speedy recovery. Also, as we continue to pray for those in Townville and others that have suffered loss, these great, great tragedies that are going on in our world, we want to just pray. We want to pray individually, but we need to pray collectively. I want to thank my brother for reading the scripture. I won't reread it this morning, but I want to go into it, and I want to make some points. And hopefully the points that I will make here this morning will be very beneficial to all of us that are present here this day. As Brother Joel had put in the bulletin, I want to go ahead and announce what I will be addressing. And I want us to think about this title that I have entitled this lesson. Where are we now? Where are we now? Every time we turn on the television set, it seems that there have been some terrible tragedy. Every time we look at our newspapers, it seems like something has happened that have brought shame to our country. Even when we hear people speak about certain things and different views, it causes us to wonder and to ponder. Where is mankind trying to take our country? But the Bible is still inspired. There is still a God in heaven. And we still realize that he allows us to live, move, and have our being. Listen to me this morning. We are at a time in our country where love is abated. Compassion is limited. Law is unruly. Equality is vanished. And all this is evident among mankind. But there is a God in heaven whose love is unlimited. His compassion is evident. His law is just. And his equality is equal. because he allowed his blessed son to come and die for sinful individuals like you and like me. The Bible says in Romans 5 and the verses 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Regardless of what's going on in our world today, we must continue to look to the cross. Regardless of the laws that will be legislated in our world today, we must continue to look to the cross. Regardless of what people say or opinions that are given, we must continue to look to the cross. The Apostle Paul, as he encouraged the young evangelist Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse is 11, notice what the Bible says. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. It didn't say some men. It didn't say a few men. It did not read a few chosen individuals. The Bible says, for the grace of God had appeared unto what? All men. Brother Barney, when I think about that word grace, it simply means a merited favor. It simply means he's extended something that we don't rightfully deserve. He's given us opportunity to make heaven our home. He has extended to us what we can't not extend to ourselves. When we think about that grace, we need to really appreciate the grace that is given. We need to be thankful for that grace that has been shown. Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. We had a very outstanding Sunday school lesson this morning. And we touched on some points about faith. And we need to understand things about faith. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. So when we think about faith and we think about the realm of faith, there are two things that come to mind when we think about faith. There is objective faith and there is subjective faith. Now, Brother Joel, we should operate in the realm of objective faith because God is the object of our faith. We put our trust in him. We honor him. We obey him. We live by his word because God is the object of our faith. But when we think about the world today, the world wants to go on subjective faith. What are you saying, Brother Terry? Subjective faith is what I believe. It's what I want to do. It's how I look at it. But I'm here to tell us this morning, if we want to go to God's heaven, we must operate in the realm of objective faith because God is the object of our faith. The Apostle Paul wanted the young evangelist Timothy to understand this thing about faith. This unmerited favor that God extends to us. Why did God extend this unmerited favor to us? Why is he extending it to us? Because Isaiah said in Isaiah 53 and the verses 5, for he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That unmerited favor, that love shown toward mankind. And the Apostle Paul wanted the young evangelist Timothy to explain this to people, to show people this. And we need to do it in our everyday lives. Amen, somebody. If we are children of God, we need to act that way. If we are children of God and that unmerited favor has been shown upon us, and of course it has, we need to live our lives in a way that will bring glory to Jesus Christ. Brother Joel, the tragedy that took place in town, the tragedies that are taking place in our world, the things that are going on, and I pray for the safety of my brother Joel Foster every day. But where is the world trying to go today? The Bible says as the Apostle Paul told the young evangelist Timothy. He said that grace that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and the verses 4, the Bible says, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the evangelist Timothy, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Sometime when I talk to individuals about salvation, and I talk to individuals about things that they need to do and things that they need to understand when it comes to this life, the Bible says, and we just read, I just quoted, that God wants all men to be saved and have a complete knowledge of Him. Sometimes we want to do it our way. Sometimes we want to go by public opinion. Sometimes we want to go along and get along. But Brother Joel, God sent His Son to die for all men to be saved and come to a complete knowledge of Him. But not only that, there are some individuals that are living their lives as according to such. They're living their lives according to what is holy writ. They're governing their lives. They're living by the Bible. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount, when He was talking to His disciples, in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, He illustrated, He talked about, and He used the word salt. Now, y'all don't laugh at me. I don't know how to cook. I don't know a lot about salt. My wife does all the cooking, but sometimes when people get salt, they start shaking. And I was looking at a guy one day, Brother Joel, why do people, y'all don't answer out loud, y'all loosen up, why do people, before they even taste it, they get the salt and start shaking it? Never understood that. But maybe they just like salt. But Jesus used the term salt, simply meaning that salt changes whatever it comes in contact with. If we are disciples, and if we are followers of Christ, and we are Christians, shouldn't we make a difference in this world in which we live? But not only that, Jesus uses another word. He said light in verse number 14. In other words, illuminating this world in which we live, bringing light, bringing about God's word, making a difference in the world in which we live today. I want to tell us here this morning, if we live light, and if we go by God's word, we can make a difference in this world in which we live. Because Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16, let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I'm persuaded that Jesus knew what He was talking about when He mentioned salt. I'm persuaded that Jesus knew what He was talking about when He mentioned light. And I'm persuaded what He said, He meant what He said, and He said what He meant. God wants all men to be saved. He has showered His grace on everybody. But not only that, as we go a little bit farther in this lesson this morning, we have understood thus far about grace. We understand that that grace brought salvation that we should richly appreciate and desire. We understand also that it appeared unto all men. God wants all men to be saved. But the Bible goes on to say, teaching us. That's a problem with the world today. We don't want to be taught anything. We don't want anybody to instruct us in anything. You know, we have a problem with criticism. And I want to tell us here this morning, the word criticism is not always bad when you put a word before it, constructive criticism. In other words, it's simply giving you instruction because this is something we need. You know, I say this all the time and people get mad at you. And Brother Joe, you know, preachers, we live in a glass house. You know, you say something, everybody's mad at you. Who like to say something when everybody get mad at you? You want everybody to love you. But a lot of times we take a beating because we're just trying to encourage ourselves, encourage others. But the one thing that I've learned If you want to live here on God's earth, you got to be taught. Amen. You got to be taught what's right. You got to accept what is written. You got to live by what is written. Because Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He was instructing his disciples. He told them to go into all the world, teaching them. In other words, the world is not just going to figure it out. The world is not just going to come to a conclusion that we do it this way or that way. The world needs an example, and the world needs individuals that will teach them the word of God by the way that they live and how they conduct themselves. But not only that. The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It simply means by his authority. But not only that, if we are to do some teaching, and Jesus expect us to do the teaching, because we have this perfect teacher, which was Jesus Christ. We look to the scriptures and we see how his disciples and his apostles taught his word on a daily basis. And we understand how important it is to only go by his authority. But there comes a point in our lives where we must make up in our minds that we truly have to deny some things. The Apostle Paul, as he told the young evangelist Timothy, denying ungodliness, ungodly living, ungodly deeds. There are some things that we as God's people cannot afford to take part with. And we need to say something about it. This transgender stuff, we need to speak up about it. This go along or get along, we need to speak up about it. Things that we know are contrary to the will of God, we need to speak up about it. Let me say this. I know I'm in the doghouse, Brother Joel. I'm going to go ahead and bark. Is that all right? People come to your neighborhood. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It can be raining. It can be snowing. These little gentlemen on the bicycles, y'all see them? People standing out and you're in a car. You can't even get to the red light and turn. They're handing out these papers. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Giving out all of this so-called information. Brother Joe, that's supposed to be us. Is that right? That's supposed to be us telling the people about Christ. That's supposed to be us telling people to come to worship. That's supposed to be us. But these people are dedicated to something. Is that right? These people are trying to get their point across. But what about the church of Christ? What about us holding up that bloodstained banner? What about us handing out tracts? What about us inviting people to gospel meetings? What about us inviting our co-workers, our friends, and even our enemies? Because Jesus said, love your enemy. Is that right? Invite them too. They need to be saved too. But I want to say this as I come toward my last point before I close out this morning. The Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration for a reason. He couldn't teach error. He said the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared unto all men. He said teaching them that denying ungodliness and whether we should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The world in which we live is going a different route. But we need to understand that we need to stand for truth. I want to make a few more points and the lesson will be yours. The Bible says, live godly in this present world. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verses 13. You will recall the writer there said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. In other words, he had summed up life within himself. He started that letter back in chapter 4 where he said, there's nothing new under the sun. Things that are going on in our world today, Brother Barney, they're here, they've been here, they've just been manifest. He said, there's nothing new under the sun. He said, let me draw the conclusion of the whole matter. He said, fear God and keep his commandments. But this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and the verse is 13. I want to give you an encouraging scripture, and the lesson will be yours. If you have your Bibles, pray God that you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to wind this thing up. 1 Peter chapter 2. Brother Joe this morning made a very good point in the Sunday school lesson about we use the word fear, and we understood that it carries a different connotation and different things about reverence and things of that nature. And we need to understand these certain things when it comes to fearing God, that fear means to reverence God, to respect God, to honor God. But in 1 Peter chapter 2, and the verse is 13. Brother Joe, we can't live in fear. We can't walk around afraid. We can't worry about what's going to happen next. We can't worry about, yes, we need to be concerned. We need to pray and be ready, but we need to understand that God is still in control. We need to make sure that we're doing what is right. In 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse number 13, the Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. I always like to tell people, and I always like to encourage people, even though people are doing wrong things, God is going to take care of that. We need to stay with what is right. Amen. When y'all say amen, I'll go on. And unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, watch the Bible, and for the praise of them that do well. Here's the verse number 15. For so is the... men. They can legislate things all they want to. They can try to send the world wherever they want to send it. But I want us to understand this morning as we close this lesson. God is still in control. God is aware of what's going on. God is going to deal with individuals according to his time. And we need to understand and appreciate what God has done for us. As I close this lesson this morning, I entitled it, Where Are We Now? I want you to make that question and make it personal. Where are you now with your belief and trust in God? Where are you now with appreciating the grace that has been given? Where are you now when it comes to having salvation or wanting everybody to be saved? Where are you now with teaching God's will and living by his will and denying ungodly things? And how are you now living in this present world? As I close with a quote that the Apostle Paul told the church at Galatia. He said in Galatians chapter 2 and the verses 20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You've heard his word. Why don't you believe it? Why don't you repent of your sins? Why don't you confess Christ? Then as a penitent believer, why don't you be baptized in water for the remission of your sins if you have not done that as of yet? Because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be or will be condemned. Or maybe you're here and you've already done that. Maybe you are a child of God, but there are some things in your life that are keeping you at a guilty distance from God. The Bible says, and Jesus says, I tell you nay, except you repent, ye should all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. Or maybe you just need prayer. Why don't you make that known? If you need to be baptized, you need to repent, or you need prayer. Why don't you make that known as we stand together and as we sing? Why won't you come? Let us be standing.